Hey, hey, hey! We're back for another episode of Cream City Dreams. And this week, another dream maker, folks.
We're going to play some ball with Cecilia Gore from the Milwaukee Brewers Foundation, named by Venus Williams as a dream maker in Milwaukee. And I just really loved hearing her backstory, hearing how she got into this, I mean, totally dreamy position, I would say.
Yeah.
Working for the Brewers Foundation, allocating funds to meaningful projects to make Milwaukee a healthier and more livable place.
And then rubbing shoulders with Willie Adames.
Oh, Willie. And Hank Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, right?
Having personal stories about Hank Aaron, that's just really cool.
Very dreamy. I feel like we could have listened to her stories all morning. She really knocks it out of the park, so I think we should just...
Play ball.
Play ball. Cecilia Gore.
So we are so excited to meet you. And yeah. I'm a huge fan of Venus Williams, and she named you as a person that she sees making dreams happen in Milwaukee. I want to just maybe play you that clip in case you haven't heard it. Would that be okay?
Yep. I started listening to her this morning, but I didn't hear that. So,
oh, good. Yes. Well, let me, I'm going to play this little snippet for you.
When I look at Cecilia Gore and how Cecilia, again, in a very different way, through financial resources and connecting people to resources, Cecilia Gore makes things happen by also cultivating the dreams and the visions of others and elevating resources. So where I make the resources that are inside of you available to you, right? That's my thing, is to say, you have this, you can do this, and this is the pathway to get it. Cecilia Gore says, this person has this, this entity, this foundation, let's go after that for the community. Let me help the community by sharing my connection. So Cecilia Gore is that person for me.
Love it.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, she is amazing.
Yeah. Well, and I'm curious, what got you started on this path of being this dream maker for people?
Well, it's interesting to call it a dream maker. I think she makes a good point. I have the benefit of having access to resources, financial and other assets that I'm able to share with the community. And I've been around for a while. My years are adding up, but I started working at Wisconsin Gas. And my primary position was in community affairs and external relations. Mm. So that was kind of the beginning of my journey of connecting with the community and nonprofits and providing the resources of that company to leverage the dreams and aspirations of other individuals and organizations like Venus in our community. And then from there, I went to the Jane Bradley Pettit Foundation, mm-hmm. and they were the largest at the time philanthropic organization in this community. They provided significant funding to numerous organizations, and Mrs. Pettit's philosophy was that the money was raised in Milwaukee and it should stay in Milwaukee. Mm. And I had the pleasure of just engaging with so many organizations that were doing great work. And it was just, I think, a real unique experience to be able to tap in every day and see all of the good work that people were doing. And then from there, I moved over to the Brewers Community Foundation. This is my 14th season. Mm. So, you know, it's been a blast.
Yeah.
We all play on the same field, everybody wins. And yeah. So combines the baseball operation and the charitable arm together, moving out into the community and looking for ways to make a difference.
Yeah. Well, and you've certainly done that. I mean, there is so much. It's almost like, what do you not have your fin what pot do you not have your fingers in Milwaukee? I mean, if I read this list that one of the sites had about you online, and we'll post all of this stuff in our show notes so people can find out more about you, but you've served on the board of the Greater Milwaukee Foundation, the Greater Milwaukee Committee, Alverno College, City Year, Sojourner Family Peace Center, Frater Hospital, Town Bank, a Wintrust company, the YWCA of Greater Milwaukee, C.G. Schmidt, Milwaukee Film, Milwaukee Women Inc., Sculpture Milwaukee, the Hank Aaron Chasing the Dream Foundation, Milwaukee Public Library, Menominee Valley Partners, Marcus Center, and the North Milwaukee State Bank. I'm sure there's even more because this might have been taken from something that was a couple years ago, but wow.
Well, what's about that long list is that it unfolded over many years. So I don't want to think that I'm running around like a chicken with no head. I just, you know.
Yeah. And it's interesting, when we interviewed Dasha Kelly, she has a similar list, right, of all the things that she's had her hands in, and she said the very similar thing that this is not these are things that have kind of come one after another but have fallen into place based on things she's done. And I guess, how does it feel to have a list? How does that land when we read that huge list?
Well, it reminds me of how fortunate I have been. How amazing this community is from the standpoint that we have so many quality people that roll their sleeves up every single day and they want to make a difference. And that I can see it from this side of the work is unique, you know. There are only a small number of people in this community that have an opportunity to weigh in this way. So I'm privileged to have the opportunity. And what I really try to do is not only the usual and customary work, but think about the Venus Williams of the world that might not bubble up in the same way, with a corporate giving strategy. Or, you know, now I think people are more engaged with the community than they have been at the, in the past. But to be able to have the flexibility to provide funding for people like Venus that are really, really having an impact, but they're not the usual and customary folks that would tap into, you know, traditional philanthropy.
Yeah. So is that something that the Brewers Community Foundation is doing more of? Is finding those people like Venus to give to?
Yeah, I think, you know, baseball is the kind of sport that attracts all kinds of people. So you become aware of many, many things. But outside of that, I think my affiliation with the Greater Milwaukee Foundation, for example, which I've been on the board for, I think, 8 years, you know, you learn more about the community and you see strategies that are trying to have an impact. And you know, they have really embraced this notion of funding the folks that are having lived experiences. And so with that, you find out about the gems in our community, the organizations and the people that are making a difference. And the lifelong Milwaukeean. So I know people. You know, there are things that interest me, like Andre Lee Ellis was funding or managing the garden on the ring for a number of years. And I mean, that's non-traditional. He had this dream to bring 500 young men to a event and have them all wear their tuxes. They took a big picture on the county courthouse staircase. You know, and his point was you're here in this way versus being here because, you know, you're getting ready to put on an orange jumpsuit and move into a system of incarceration. So, you know, inspirational people like that that are really hands-on just excite me.
You know, I'm curious about your childhood. What were your dreams when you were a kiddo?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that because of this podcast. And I don't know that I was a big dreamer as a kid. I think I was just moving around, being active, having some, I think, great experiences. Thanks to my parents, I was involved in groups that were, you know, focused on achievement. And that was very positive. Jack and Jill was one of those organizations where I was able to see adults that were prospering and doing well and in positions, doctors, nurses, teachers, people that were engaged in the community. So that kind of set the table a little bit. My mother was a Girl Scout leader and I was a Girl Scout. So those were the kinds of experiences I think that planted the seeds for me around service and interest in the community. My father, William Gore, was a very community-minded individual. He served on the Fire and Police Commission and chaired it for 14 years during some really tumultuous times. So I was able to hear a lot of that kind of conversation. So, you know, it's hard to pinpoint what I was dreaming about. I did have a period where I was dreaming about partying and having a good time. And that was that was right after high school when I went to UWM and majored in partying. So, you know, I was just that typical young person that was trying to find my way. And I have to say, my path was not a straight path. Mm-hmm. It had twists and turns. As I said, I went to UWM. I was only there for 2 years. And then my mother tapped me on the shoulder and told me I needed to step back and think about, you know, what I wanted to do. And I started working at Wisconsin Gas. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of this whole community related work, because the utility is, you know, an anchor community corporate entity. Mm-hmm. So I was there for 7 years and then I went back to school and landed at Alverno's Weekend College. And Alverno truly transforms women. Mm-hmm. So as they say, you go in one way and you come out totally different. And I'm living proof of that. I was there because I wanted to be there at the time. There were many women that were striving to accomplish their goals. The nuns, you know, had their eyes on us and put their arms around us and were very, very confident about the abilities that the students could grasp and focus on that would make them strong women. Mm-hmm. So I credit to Alverno, and I'm still affiliated with them today.
That's beautiful. So you went back at, you were in your maybe late 20s at that point?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And then fast forward 14 years and I went back and got my MBA.
Okay. Mm. Awesome. I think that's a really important thing to hear for people out there who might be not feeling the college thing during their early 20s when it's, you know, sort of the typical time to go.
Right.
Like, it's okay to take a detour. What were the lessons you learned at Wisconsin Gas that you brought into your educational experience?
The biggest lesson had to do with one of the projects that I worked on one spring, period. It was called tree planting. And we were in these rooms with the Atlas maps and had to put X's in every place where a tree was planted in the city of Milwaukee. And as I was doing that work, I was reminded that my father had gone to Morehouse College. My mother had gone to Atlanta University. This was not what they had envisioned for their daughter. And I needed to figure out something else because that was a project that, and, you know, God bless those of us that were doing it, because if they had to dig underground, obviously they didn't want to blow anything up. So it was important work, mm-hmm. but it's tedious and it gives you a lot of time to think about what you want to do. And that, along with encouragement from some other people, moved me forward to be a tree planter for the rest of my life. I felt like I had a lot to offer, and I needed to figure out how to bring it forward. I had good experiences at that company, met some people that were encouraging. There was another woman, Jean Miller, who had gone to Alverno, and she wanted me to check it out. And, you know, at some point you just get to that point and you say, wow, I can do that too. I'm going to check into this. And I did, and I started, and, you know, I was there for 7 years because I was working full time. But it was a great experience, and here we are today. So it's funny. I never felt like I was failing, per se. I felt like, fortunately, I think my father was really, well, he was a psychiatric social worker, so he was probably counseling me, and I didn't know it. I never felt like I was failing. I felt like I was just managing whatever the next step might be. So I thank him for that. And then I don't know if you know Thelma Sias or not, but I had been at the gas company for a number of years, and then I started working for Thelma. And Thelma is a very confident woman. She's a community leader. She was very focused, and she could see what people had to offer, and she nurtured it. I was fortunate to have her as somebody that I reported to. We worked hard together, and we were in community affairs. And so we were, you know, moving in the direction of trying to figure out how to take the resources that we had access to and bring them to the community in ways that would make a difference.
That was at Wisconsin Gas in the years you were there? Interesting. So she was a real pivotal person, it sounds like.
Yes, in that work, in my life and in that work. She understood so many things. I mean, she really had a good handle on what we could do if we really worked hard and if we cared.
Well, and in when I was reviewing the Brewers Community Foundation and what you do there, it sounded like sort of the basic needs of Milwaukee is something that you work towards supporting and nurturing. And I'm just curious, of the organizations that you support, or even just thinking about Milwaukee in general, what do you think is the most basic need, either that we're doing really well with, or that we really need to focus more on in our city?
Well, the foundation, Brewers Community Foundation, focuses on health, education, recreation, and basic needs. You know, we say basic needs, but health, education, recreation, those are needs as well. And I think that our community is finding our way. We are looking for opportunities to unleash the true energy that exists in this community. And I feel like the efforts around unleashing systemic racism, unlearning it, unbundling it, looking for ways to understand it might be, or in my opinion, is the most powerful work that is going on today, because it really taps into all of the challenges that our community faces, all of the disparities. We really understand how we have gotten here, and then dismantle all of those barriers, systemic racism that is in our DNA. We have to grapple with it. And there's some work being done. I think that it's hard work. It is work that isn't enjoyable necessarily. There's painful feelings and emotions tied to it. But I think if we really want to move the needle, we have to grapple with that. And I think there's work. I'm so proud of the Greater Milwaukee Foundation. They've centered racial equity and and inclusion as their North Star. They are using that as their lens to do work. They've been consistently talking about it with donors and community and looking at doing their work differently and normalizing the discussion so that can acknowledge, yes, some of this work needs to look different. We've learned that, you know, our strategies have been built through a system that has been racist. And so how do we step back and remove those barriers so that people can have quality housing or they can engage with financial institutions fairly, or that our education system can be reset? You know, I think that the more we embrace that understanding, the further along we'll be. And some people may think, you know, we're over-indexing on this work, or it feels too hard, or we should be able to get there without addressing it. But I think we can get further once we just acknowledge this is where we are and we don't want to be here.
Yeah, I'd be very curious to know, in your career working with community institutions, like how have you seen the work for racial equity change in positive ways?
Well, I can tell you this, the work has not gone away.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but I think it was probably 30 years ago, I was on the board of Project Equality, an organization that was founded in the churches, but it worked with corporations. They had a beautiful leader, Betty Thompson, who had the ability to connect with leadership in this community and talk about racial equity and inclusion and try to encourage change. So that was a long time ago. And fast forward, we're still doing this kind of work. And I, because of some of the horrific instances that we've been able to be exposed to, like George Floyd, we have greater recognition because we've seen it firsthand of the need to do the work. And, you know, unfortunately, things have happened every day that remind us we need to continue the work. So because of social media and, you know, the visibility around issues that are impacting people negatively, you know, the research, the disparities that are being discovered and really considered, those are the things that are making the work change. And that's positive. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but
what I'm taking from that is the work has become more obvious to everyone that it needs to happen.
And there's an imperative. The work has to continue. And I think that the other positive thing is that there's a more of a acceptance that this work or this issue impacts everybody. It's not just, you know, African Americans were redlined, or, you know, whatever the issue is. It impacts the entire community. It impacts all of us in ways that hold us back from being the Great Lake, the city on the Great Lake that is doing the best that we want to do. And we have so much in Milwaukee that is positive. So many things that we experience. It's beautiful. We have water. We have great people. We have resources. We have Summerfest, you know.
We have the crew.
yeah, we have everything. But in order to maximize that, we've got to figure out how to provide opportunity for everybody. No question.
And make those systems more equitable, repair some of the economic
inequities.
Yeah.
And in a real way too, that might be uncomfortable for people. You know, we were talking, we had last season, we had Chloe Longmire on as a guest, and she is the founder of Chase My Creations, and she makes really cool t-shirts and all sorts of things that you can wear that are, you know, don't be a racist. I'm trying to remember what some of the other ones are.
Shelley, hike racist is
it's very racist, you know. And we were just talking about the difference between, you know, wearing a shirt or putting a yard sign that says Black Lives Matter in your yard versus actually doing the work that's more than just performative, you know.
Yeah. One of the things about that, in my opinion, is it's a starting place.
Yeah.
And that's good. If you have the ability to put a sign in your window or wear a t-shirt that says that you want to live in an anti-racist society, that's a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And it's not the big solution. It doesn't have that kind of impact where you can measure the outcomes, but it's a starting place. And it mm-hmm. also can influence others to think about how we could be.
Mm. Yeah. And that's exactly what she said. Like, this is a conversation mm-hmm. starter. And, you know, it's mostly, I think she said it was mostly white folks who are buying the shirts and her customers. And so if that gets that conversation going in this community that has overlooked it or said it's not our problem, right, then that's her goal. So,
and the reason I love the podcast so much is that it's a chance to have conversations with people, for me to have conversations with the people I might not otherwise have a conversation with. Yeah. And my hope is that our listeners feel that too, that it's almost like being introduced to all these amazing Milwaukee women like yourself or Venus or Chloe, that it sort of breaks the ice to begin having, you know, relationships with folks, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
In my opinion, exposure is everything.
Mm.
You are exposed to different people and you have different experiences. It's like travel. You go to another country and you see how people live, mm-hmm. See how they organize their lives. You know, it adds value. Mm-hmm. And so podcasts, any kind of engagement with other human beings just adds significant value, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think, you know, in your case, you're able to ask the question that somebody might have, but never have an opportunity to ask. Mm. And I think about that because, you know, as a child, I always felt like I was that girl in the classroom sitting in the back that had three or four questions, but I didn't ask them,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so now I'm open to any question that anyone wants to ask because I know that, you know, it adds value.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and part of the idea behind this podcast, as well as just introducing those conversations and opening up those questions, is encouraging our listeners who might be sitting on a dream to see that it's possible. And especially in a city like Milwaukee, when what we've found over the last couple seasons is that it's so supportive. Like, people want people to succeed in our community. People want to see other people succeed. And obviously, this podcast is just about women, but we've really in particular noticed that about women. And so I'm just curious, you know, if we do have listeners who are sitting on a dream or an idea to make this city better, in particular, if it's that sort of dream, where would you send them? Can we send them to you? Can they ask for money from you? Or where do you see, who are the other dream makers that you see in our city?
Well, the first thing I would say is I think people will often have an idea or something that they want to do, but they don't think it's important, or they think it's too small, or they don't know where to go. And what I would encourage people to do, and I need to think about this myself, is talk to others about what it is you want to do. And look for others that are doing similar things and create relationships and partner with others around your idea and have some realization that your small idea may change the world. Or it will impact one child. I think about one of the educators in town, Danette Justice, who started a read aloud. And she, during the pandemic, started videotaping herself reading aloud. And, you know, she gained all of these followers that were having their kids watch her reading these books in unique places. She read at American Family Field. She, you know, read downtown by the lake. She goes to all these places in our community and reads a book on her podcast, and then people view it. So if you think about how isolating it was during COVID, to take that small idea and just be consistent and share it with others, that's an amazing gift. And her idea is growing into her own business. She's attracted a lot of attention around her beauty, first of all, her on those tapings, you know, just seeing her dressed in a costume. You know, as a kid, you always have that teacher that you just love. And that's how she is. But it was a small idea, and it's growing, and it's having a significant impact. So, you know, my thought is talk to people, look for partners, don't underplay what it is you're thinking about. A dream can go many places. It can take you places that you might not have imagined. And it can happen.
Yeah. That's a great example.
And it can be funded. So we did fund her. We provided money, and, you know, she purchased, I believe, some of her outfits that were tied to the books that she was reading to make her readings more attractive and interesting because of she had a visual to share. So, you know, there's just some amazing people in our community that are doing fantastic things. And I'm just that I'm able to be exposed.
That's a great example. And actually, Venus on her episode, I forget what she wanted to call it, but she was talking about starting an event at the table where people just get together to share their ideas what they want to do for the community. It's such a great idea, you know?
And, you know, some people hold their thoughts for decades, you know, and then one day they just share it with someone and it becomes an amazing something. I think it's interesting just to see people engage with each other and what can come out of that. And I think we need more of it today, given the isolation that we faced during COVID. I'm sure that people were able to take time to reflect, and the little dreams are probably just tied up and bubbling and waiting to be expressed. We've had that time of reflection, and I just encourage people to connect with others in ways that maybe they haven't in the past, if they're not joiners. You know, because there's so many groups that you could be involved with, but everyone doesn't necessarily want to do that. But find a way to connect with someone or groups of people and share those dreams.
Love it.
Yeah. Who do you see as what do you see as a place in Milwaukee where that's happening naturally? The sharing of just people getting to know each other, people building relationships with each other.
You know, I'm going to point to Lauren Feaster, who is professional in our community, and she is the CEO of Professional Dimensions, and it's a membership organization, and she created a group of African-American women that are members of that organization that have a conversation, I think it's once a month, a Zoom call. With no agenda, but her goal was to have all of these women, and it's surprising, I think it's over 100 women, get together on this Zoom call and just start talking and sharing and encouraging each other. It's like an hour long, but it's becoming very popular because I think people want to connect. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't have time to connect. But as somebody's sharing a story or, you know, whatever, how are they doing? What's going on in your life? Lauren might introduce an idea or something that she's looking for, some way to be supported. But I think that that is an amazing way to pull a group of people together, to just learn about each other, to connect and feel like you're not in this world alone. And so I really appreciate her effort with that. But then professional dimensions overall, a larger group of women that have been in this kind of organization over many years. You know, I think those are really positive tempo in our community. It's growing leaps mm-hmm. and bounds because I think people want to connect. So I have a lot of regard for those kinds of organizations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're actually hoping to get both of those organizations on our season three, or somebody from Tempos and Lauren as well. We've another guest recommended her as well as somebody that we should be talking to. Last week we spoke to Wendy Bauman at WIBIC. So yeah, like I said, this
so inspired because we just have person upon person that is doing great things. Mm-hmm. And they're not doing the same thing. This community is filled with amazing people, mm-hmm. which is why I'm very optimistic about our future, despite the challenges that we have. Just the amazing people that are active and willing to participate blows me away. Mm-hmm. I was going to mention Jen Dirks from Tempo, mm-hmm. you know. Started with the organization and is just growing it and exposing women to all kinds of things that will add value to their lives.
Absolutely. I have a fondness in my heart because I received one of their continuing education awards.
Great.
Yeah. And I think that deadline's coming up. It's such a great opportunity for women to, get the support needed to further their career.
Yeah.
So I'm really grateful for that. Yeah.
There's also some networks that have been created. I think about Nancy Hernandez that's working on the Hispanic Collaborative. And then Dr. Jeanette Mitchell that started the African American Leadership Program. You know, just you could go on actually, because there's a ton of people that make a difference.
Yeah. And then, seems like they all have their little niche. So we have this beautiful mosaic of these skills and these gifts that they're offering to the community.
And I think many of these efforts recognize the power of collaboration. So although they're doing their individual thing, they're looking for partners. They're connecting with other people. They're weaving together their resources in ways that will make it a more powerful effort. Mm-hmm. I don't think that happens in every community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And in Milwaukee too, it really feels like there's less competition in some ways and more collaboration. We've noticed that on the podcast, that people talk about folks that are in their same lane as, you know, like teammates. We're all in this, you know, we're in this together. So,
yeah, I think there is competition.
There is competition.
But I also think the recognition that if we really want to go far, we won't go far alone. Mm-hmm. That right. we really need to work with each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Megan, is it time for rapid fire?
I feel like it might be.
We like to end each episode with just some fun questions to get to know you a little better.
Okay.
I'm really curious about this one because I'm a big Brewers fan. Who's the player who's the most fun to be around?
Current player?
Well, you know what? Go ahead and name somebody from the past. That's fine.
Well, current, I think I love watching Willy Adames. I mean, he is so spirited, and of course, he's handsome. That smile is just, you know, off the chain. Whatever he's doing, you feel like you're drawn in. And he has a real spirit for others, which I think is fantastic. He wants to make a difference beyond himself. And so for me, that is a current player. I had the pleasure of doing a lot of work with Hank Aaron. I can tell you that he was a person that just moved your soul. You know, his work, the way he thought about life, the impact that he wanted to have and continues to have beyond his life was, you know, I'm speechless trying to articulate all that he was, because he was just an amazing individual. And he was fun. I'll tell you a story. We used to bring him into town annually for an event, and we would have like 1,000 items that he would have to autograph. So we would come to the Pfister and get a conference room. We'd have all this stuff, and he would give you a look like, you have got to be kidding me. And then he would take his pen and put his head down and say, you know what, for the kids or the community, I can do this. But you're going to have to tell me some great stories and play some music and bring some food in here and make this an enjoyable experience. And we did. So that was a lot of fun for me.
Oh, that's funny. That's
really cool.
Do you have a favorite racing sausage?
You know, I hang out with the sausages, which is really interesting. When I look back, you know, I've been there for 14 seasons. And we take the sausages into the community. And it really blows me away when the sausages walk into the room. Whether it's a room of adults or kids, people are just so excited. And so, favorite for me, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I have a favorite. But what I love is the feeling that they're able to share when they're in a crowd. It's just and seeing people that are so happy when, you know, the chorizo leans over so a young kid can touch his hat, or the hot dog is doing a little dance, or, you know, whatever's going on. And people are just in a place of happiness and amazement because the famous sausages are in their presence.
So great. I just watched I don't know if you watch Abbott Elementary, the TV show, but there's an episode where Gritty, the hockey mascot, comes to the school and everybody's just like nutso about it, you know, and it would totally be that same thing in Milwaukee if it were one of the sausages. So
you can bring the famous player. And, you know, people love the players. You know, they have the same kind of reaction. But if the sausages come in, the attention turns. Everyone looks up and they're thrilled that they're there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they did come to a Lake Park Little League event for us last year, and the kids just went bonkers. It was so fun. It was, yeah, really joyful. They really bring the community together in a way that sometimes other things can't. Yeah. God bless the sausages.
Or a girl vegan sausage.
Ooh. Is that being introduced?
No, but I think it's a great idea.
I think so too. Oh man, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Of all the games coming up this season, what are there any games or weekends or theme nights that you're most excited about?
Well, for me, being that I run Brewers Community Foundation, I'm excited about every single home game because we sell 50-50 raffle tickets. And, you know, they're $2 tickets. We sell them 2 hours before the game and all the way into the fourth inning. And one winner takes home half of the proceeds of that game. And I'll tell you, on opening day, somebody will probably take home $50,000. It has been so successful and so joyous. And what I love is we get half of the money. So that helps us provide grants. But the other half to the winner has been fascinating because either a person needs a new roof or they're trying to put their kids through college or somebody's getting married or somebody, you know, just had a baby and they need to find an apartment. And this money is just going to make a world of difference. So, you know, you look at those stories and you realize that baseball is actually bringing real people to the game that are living their lives. They're not, you know, people that have all of the means that are necessary. They're people that are everyday people, you know, trying to enjoy some relaxation, but that have things going on in their life that they need to address. Mm-hmm. And so, but to win that money, you know, it's just a thrill. Mm-hmm. So that's looking forward to. But we do have a number of other things that are happening. We'll have our 5K run walk. Mm-hmm. We have a number of community nights, the Negro Leagues nights, Cerveceros, Pride night. So it's just an exciting time, and it happens every year. Thousands of people come and enjoy it, and it's just a great time. And I'm so happy that we have Major League Baseball in this community.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's funny, last night at leaving the, I had friends over for the Super Bowl, and when we said goodbye, the comment they made was, and pitchers and catchers report soon, you know?
Of course.
On to the next season. On to the next season. Well, when you're not at a game or in the community making, you know, change happen, what is your favorite way to spend time in Milwaukee?
Well, I am married. My husband's name is Randy Bryan. He runs Ten Chimneys Foundation. And so the two enjoy each other. I would like to say we relax and enjoy each other, but both of us are always running around doing one thing or another. But we like to travel. He is a historic preservationist, so where he's involved in a number of organizations where they look at, you know, preservation across the country. That has allowed us to travel in various ways that, you know, I come along as the spouse that can just relax and enjoy the things that they're exposing him to. But they're looking to do designations, historic designations. So that's fun. But just taking a moment to breathe. Mm-hmm. You know, I love Peloton, treadmill, and bike. I love hopping on that and, you know, trying to exercise a little bit. I absolutely love walking Lincoln Memorial Drive. I live on the east side. And so for many, many years, first thing in the morning, if it's nice out, I like to pop on my tennis shoes and go for a walk. I absolutely love that. I feel like it's a mini vacation every day. Mm-hmm. To be able to walk that lakefront and see the various sunrises and the water and feel the fresh air. So that makes me happy.
Beautiful. Thank
Agreed.
You.
Agreed. But we just want to thank you so much for joining us. This has been such a delightful conversation and such an honor to have you here and talking with us about our community that I think we all agree we love so much and just want to see, you know, lift it up. So that's our goal with this podcast. I know that's your goal with the foundation. So thank you for all you're doing for our community.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate being involved with this. I will pay attention to the other interviews that you're doing so that I can be inspired.
Mm.
Congratulations on what I think is a powerful effort.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, thank you.
Thank you.
I'll send you an email with, you know, some people that I think you'll really enjoy.
That would be awesome. That'd be really great.
Yeah, because we keep saying we're just going to keep going with this podcast until we can't anymore. And I don't think that's actually going to happen. I don't think we'll run out of inspiring women in Milwaukee.
We'll not run out of inspiring women. No question.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Cecilia. It's been really a joy.
Thank you.
I am inspired by the work that she does, by the energy that she has, and the the just the passion for Milwaukee and all of the projects. You know, sometimes it's easy to feel, I find it's, it can be easy to feel, hopeless is the wrong word, but just like there's so much to do. But yet it felt like she really approached it with a sense of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
We can get stuff done. And we are, they are getting stuff done.
Mm-hmm. I really liked the long view of the city that she's had and the recognition that, you know, doing anti-racist work in the city is very important for the future. I don't know, that to me feels like really right on, and I'm grateful to bring that voice to the mic.
Absolutely. And I loved hearing her personal story too, of how she got to be a dream maker, and that it wasn't, mm-hmm. You know, that it took a little bit of a circuitous route, you know, that she didn't, you sort of, sometimes it feels like when you talk to people who are living their dream, it's like, well, I knew I wanted to do this from the time I was seven, mm-hmm. you know, and to hear her just say that she maybe wasn't as much of a dreamer when she was a kid and she didn't know what she was going to do, and that she fell into it because of different opportunities that, you know, maybe showed her what she didn't want to do.
Yeah. And people along the way that she respected and who kind of nudged her in those directions.
Absolutely. That was fun to hear.
Good too. And I love too that she says to get started, talk about it. That was nice to hear. And I think definitely what we are learning about our guests who put their dreams into action, that they start by sharing that with somebody and slowly getting started.
Yeah. And finding other people who are doing that in the city. Mm-hmm.
Finding other people who share that vision.
Yeah. Yeah.
So everybody get out to a Brewers game this year and make sure to buy a raffle ticket, because you know that money is going to go to really awesome things in the city. And who knows, maybe you can take home some cash to buy us a coffee on.
Love it. Yep. Support your favorite local podcast. Oh, well, that was a joy. And I'm looking forward to our guest next week, who will also inspire us with her stories of living the dream
in the Cream City. Go crew.
Go crew. Until next week, folks.
Keep on dreaming.
Keep on dreaming.
Keep on dreaming.
In the Cream City.
Okie dokie, listeners, we have a special call to action for you today.
Nothing to do with Cream City Dreams podcast, except it has to do with one of our previous guests.
One of our first guests, Ashley Valentine over at Rooted, put out a call to action for all Milwaukeeans who love books and who love racial equity and who want to support small business. She needs some support, people.
She needs some support. So what can you do to help her? Check out the post, which we'll put in our show notes, where she asks for some help, and think about what you can do to support. Buy some books.
Volunteer your time. Donate. Buy merch.
All the things. Help her out. RootedMKE.com.
Meet you on Bleat.
Meet you on Bleat. It's so worth your time.
Go, Ashley. We're rooting for you. Oh, rooting for Ashley. You. Ah, didn't even try that.